Hello, right, before we begin, I wanted to highlight some key episodes in case you've missed them before, or if this is the first time you're listening, that you can go and check them out after this one. So if you're a mortgage broker, mortgage advisor, work in the mortgage space, I would highly recommend checking out episode number 153 and 154. That was a two-part series on 9 different ways that you can generate mortgage leads. Now, if you work in pensions, investments, and you want to get more pension leads, I would check out episode 159. That was a special all about pensions. If it's bridging that you like, that you're what you're into, that you want to get more of those kind of inquiries, check out episode 160. And if it's equity release and you want to get more inquiries for that, check out episode 161. Right, enjoy the show. Hello and welcome back to the Advisors Assemble podcast. And we've got super special guest, super special episode. For the first time ever, we've got Miss Tessa Snart. How are you doing?
Hello, I'm really well, thank you. And it's really strange being on the other side of a microphone, but I'm very excited to be here.
I know. Well, just for people that are not clients of the amazing agency, The Lead Engine, that's probably the first shout. Do you know what? That's probably the first shout out I've done for our business on our podcast. We're probably about 190 episodes in. So context for anyone who's not a client is Tessa is a podcaster for us. So you work with us and it's been over, I can't believe how long it's been. So it was January 2021?
Yes, January 2021. Yeah, so over a year now. It's crazy.
And so you basically work for us full-time interviewing our clients. We're creating content for them to basically use it for SEO, and we like to have that sort of media on their website to help encourage more people to get to know the advisor and then feel more comfortable inquiring. That's a kind of the process that we've developed. And I used to do the interviewing, and now that we've rolled it out for everyone to do a lot of it, it's your job, which I imagine if I was into, like, I remember like looking at your CV and you were like doing radio shows and you had your own podcast. I never thought a job could ever exist of podcaster. And I wonder if you thought, was that even possible?
No, I was certainly surprised when the job popped up.
And locally as well.
And locally, it was like it was meant to be, I feel.
It was, wasn't it?
But no, I had looked and looked and looked, and I just thought, you know, if I wanted to do radio or anything like that, I'd have to move to the, you know, London or the big cities. But to find something like this locally, as you say, is absolutely incredible. And as you know, I love it, but I never thought I'd be podcasting about mortgages. And it's a minefield. I mean, people always say, even a lot of sort of, I guess, clients say, why would anybody want to listen to anything about mortgages? But do you know what, Alex? It's so interesting. Mm. There's so much to know and learn, and it's just so in depth.
Absolutely. Well, it's not just mortgages as well, because we've got pension. We do all sorts of advice. We've got pensions advice. You've got bridging. You've got development finance. You've got equity release. You've got so much. And edit. And you like, I mean, even so, you see like the numbers of our clients that have their own podcast as well. And some of the, because I always think when it's like mortgages and finance, people will binge on it rather than subscribe. And because it's kind of like you're going to, you know, I've got to complete by X day or I need to get this done, and they'll binge on it. But some of the numbers are just crazy. I think people think this isn't a good format.
But it's incredible.
But it is. But so for context for everyone else as well, a lot of the podcast episodes that we record with our clients are not necessarily going to be listened to on iTunes. It's to embed on the website, and it's kind of like, it's the same as having like a YouTube video on a page, except there's no video. People can just, on that page about, I don't know, if it's remortgaging for home improvements page, and there's a podcast episode about remortgaging for home improvements with an advisor, and it'll be Tessa kind of asking the questions, and people listen to it on that page when they're in the market for it. And it's, yeah, it's great, isn't it? Yeah, I still can't believe that that is a job. So
it's a great invention. I mean, you did well there, Alex.
We did all right. And it's amazing for me. I don't know how I fit the time in to do those interviews at the start, because it was probably, I think it was when the pandemic hit first, we were like, we knew there was stuff that we needed to get out quickly, because at the time it was only, because no surveyors were going out, there was no deals going through, the world stopped, and it was, but people could remortgage, and that was kind of the only thing. I remember the first one we did was, it was your remortgage options around coronavirus, and then that had so many downloads on it and so many sort of inquiries off at the time. We were like, well, let's roll this out for everyone, and then it snowballed, and then you came in that January. And then the rest is history.
It is, yeah. And here we are.
Here we are. And then the stupid thing is, right, I was, so every fortnight I have a chat with some friends of mine, some of them that have been on this podcast before. So you've got like Bob Gentle, Pete Everett, Andy Storch. We have got, oh, here we go. We've got Brandon, who's not been on. He's like a podcasting guy. Joseph Bojang, who's been on before. So we've got some Americans and English, all sort of business owners. And we did, it's like a mastermind thing. And I was like saying, oh, I'm not sure. I need to do something different with the podcast, because with this podcast, because I keep seeing the same guests going on my podcast, Ash's podcast, Craig's mortgage broker broadcast podcast. I was like, if I was a listener, I'd be like, oh, I sort of want to, I'm just hearing from the same people. And then I sort of told them about you, and they were like, why haven't you got her on? You've got a podcaster on your team, and you've had, this has been there for a year and what, 3 months, and she's not been on your podcast. Are you an idiot? And I said, yes, I am. Yeah.
Well, I suppose in a way I'm like the secret podcaster, because like you say, with our podcast, you know, that we have the clients on, it doesn't go out on to say the digital platforms. It's purely for the websites. Mm-hmm. So I suppose in a way I'm like a secret podcaster.
You are.
And now indeed. The secret's out.
Yeah, I know. We've probably told people about it. I think a lot of people know. But when it comes to giving advice for people being a podcast guest, which I think is happening more often. So we've got, obviously, our clients are going on and being a podcast guest. And I see other people now going on and being a guest on other podcasts, not just to talk about the industry, but about mortgages themselves. We've had people on the podcast who are being interviewed by like the BBC and like by Sky News and things like that. I think because there's so many options and opportunities, and you may get invited to do a Facebook Live with someone or something, that it was, I thought, a really good idea to give some advice to people if you are the guest, because I'm guessing for some people it'll be, you know, once in a blue moon or once a year or once a year. It's not like you're investing in launching your own show, are you? You're going to be a guest. And I think there's some things that, some good pointers that we can give people if you've been invited to be a guest, to prepare yourself, not to worry about it too much. Because I know this is like quite a few people sort of really are nervous about it, because it's a new thing, isn't it?
I think it can be very, very daunting. If you're not part of this world or you've never done it before, it can be really daunting. And I know, you know, a lot of people that I interview say, this is our job. We do this on a day-to-day basis. But as soon as you hit the record button, everything changes and you sort of freeze. Yeah. Yeah. They know exactly what they're doing. They know exactly what to say. But it's just something about being, I guess, put under a spotlight. If you will.
Yeah, absolutely. Because a lot of this, we try and make it sort of like, and you say, don't you? Like, imagine I'm your client and I've just called you and I'm just asking you these questions. And that's what we want people to imagine, that they're having this conversation, this phone call with you and asking the questions. These are the common questions that they would have. I found with a few, and I remember one specifically, he put it off, and did it. I was like, oh, I loved it. Where can we catch up on the ones that I've missed? Can we do some more? That I think, are you still finding that then with the people that were like really nervous about it? They're actually, oh, wasn't that bad?
Oh, definitely.
Yeah.
Yes, no, 100%. They're always really nervous to begin with. And then as we get going and they realize it really is just like a general conversation, that like what we're having now, it's relaxed. And you're just following a set of frequently Googled questions that people are asking on a, specific topic to do with mortgages, and then they love it and they want to come back and do more. I mean, of course, you kind of, you know, you get some people that it does take them a while to adjust, and everybody's got, I guess, which you will know, their own way of doing these. If you are a guest, some people can just talk and talk and talk. They don't need any notes, they don't need any bullet points, but others need that structure there. And I think that's absolutely fine, as long as you can make it sound sort of natural and you don't sound too robotic. But I think the key is as well to not put too much pressure on yourself. We are only human. And I think, you know, if you do make, you know, a few mistakes or you use a few fillers, it just shows that you're human. And I think those people that are listening to that episode can relate to that. And it's a friendly voice, isn't it?
Yeah, absolutely. Especially for the way we do it, it's all about letting people, not necessarily like what you're saying, it's like how you're saying it. Because I think a lot of people fear being pressure sold to, especially if you're looking for mortgage advice, pension advice, or whatever financial advice, and you haven't been referred by someone and you don't know them, everyone fears the unknown, don't they? So it's kind of like, it's that bridge between, I was like, actually, they're nice people. They just want to help me. Oh, I'm quite happy to speak to Joe Blogs. That's the whole point of it. So it's try and be as relaxed as possible. But yeah, I know, I remember when I was doing them that it was almost like they'd done their homework. They'd done like a dissertation on it and they'd written all. I was like, this is amazing. And then some people just rock up. But I guess there's no right or wrong. Don't worry about it. And if you're doing it without video, you can have those notes on your screen. I've got some notes on my second screen here. Not that I've written, you've written.
Likewise, I've got it here as well, yeah, up in front of me.
You've do it because we send out a little pack, don't we? A little bit of, you know, what to expect sort of thing. So I've
put
it on my second screen here. But I think if you know the questions, you can think about that. But yeah, I think the worst thing you could probably do is just read out a script, because then, like you say, it sounds a bit robotic. And then you're sort of, the whole point of it is to show your, not necessarily like out their personality, but just to get across that you're a nice, friendly person to speak to. And if you're reading something word for word, I don't think there's much sort of point in doing it, is there?
No, definitely not. And I think, you know, I've had people that have recorded with me. And, you know, we book out an hour for most of these, so that to give us plenty of time, you know, in case there's any technical difficulties, which doesn't happen too often at all. It's nothing to worry about, but we have that time in case you want to redo a question or redo parts of the interview, and that's absolutely fine. And I think sometimes people feel pressured just to be perfect straight away, but it doesn't matter. It really doesn't matter. But yeah, like you say, I think being too scripted is not a good thing either. Because you know what you want to say, you know, you know what you do in your day-to-day role. It's just, I guess, being confident.
Yeah, I think, I suppose it's for them, it's that fear of the unknown. If they've not been a podcast guest before, it's like, and then you sort of ease yourself into it. But try and just deal with it in the way that you would, you know, if someone calls you up, definitely. I'm just kind of looking and having a think about, if someone who maybe isn't us, maybe there's someone set up the mortgage advice show and they're maybe they were a first time buyer themselves and they're doing it for other first time buyers or something. I'm just to kind of think, what would I want to find out from them so you don't get yourself nervous? Like if they don't have a little pack like we do, maybe you want to find out, is this going to be done on Zoom? Maybe you want to clarify, because I've had people, I remember someone laughing about it, that they got one of their team to do the podcast, and I'd not told them, and he'd not told them that it was audio only. She went and got her hair done and everything like that the day before, and I felt dreadful because she'd not seen the pack. So I think maybe if you're being invited on something, just, and because nowadays I always think podcast audio.
Yes.
But now everyone's doing like video podcasts. You probably just want to double check. That's probably the first thing. What tech you're going to be using? Is it just going to be audio? Is it going to be video as well? I think just to put you at ease a little bit.
Yeah, no, I definitely agree. I mean, I think, again, a lot of people that I record with, a lot of them, they ask me in a follow-up email, is this audio only? Is it video? Even though it's in our podcast guidelines, especially if they've been busy and it's, you know, they've not checked the podcast guidelines, they've checked the brief, but not the guidelines. I mean, it is something that I think bothers people. And I feel like most people, not everyone, are more inclined to do the interview if it is audio only, because like you say, you haven't got to bother with your hair, your makeup, what you're wearing. So yeah, I think it's always good to follow up and double check that so that you're sure on the day if you've either not been given the information or you've not seen the information, because then that becomes more daunting if you're thinking, oh, there's going to be video involved.
Absolutely. I mean, this Advisor Assemble podcast I do as audio only, because I think that sometimes a lot of the guests that we have, it's the first time they've been on a podcast. So I always find they're more at ease and it's easier to talk to them without the video on, because they're not worried about how they look. And also it means I don't have to sort my hair out as well.
That is true, especially with you doing so many. Alex, yeah, I know. To be on it all the time.
I know, it's ridiculous. And I think, especially during lockdown when I couldn't get my hair cut, I was like, do I want video evidence of that or not?
Well, to be fair, I kind of checked with you, didn't I, beforehand, whether it was video or audio, even though I can check your other episodes, your links, whether they've been video or audio. Even I checked, and I do this every day. Yeah. So, you know, it's only human to want to know these things.
Absolutely, absolutely. And then I think my number one top tip would be to use headphones.
Yes.
Because sometimes, depending on the software, because you've got a microphone that picks up everything that can be heard, and if your microphone is picking up the audio of the other person speaking, it causes like sort of problems, doesn't it? And then you have to put a pause between answering something so it doesn't pick up the echo type thing. Have I made sense?
Yeah, no, that's perfect sense. It's sort of like audio leakage. You can hear the echo in your headphones if, you know, somebody else isn't wearing theirs. And I've had it before when I've recorded, and we've kind of got by it by muting each other's microphones when the other one's talking. But obviously that's not always ideal if you've got, you know, I've got a wide screen here, and I know you've got two different screens, Alex, but if you're recording off of one desktop and you need your notes up and you've got to keep clicking from your notes to the Zencaster screen, etc., that's not always ideal. So headphones are an asset when recording, definitely. But I think more so, more kind of your radio or keyboard style headphones, would you say, rather than Bluetooth like pods?
I have got, because of my setup, I don't even know what I'd call it. So I've got all the gear, no idea, obviously. Because I don't want to get too technical as well. I've got like a little amp because my microphone is not like a USB one. It goes through an amp and then through this other thing as well. Mine's got the proper style jack, you know, like the jack on the headphone, the old school thick, and I have to put an adapter in that. But I have only got cheap earbuds on a wire rather than Bluetooth ones, because I think we've had so many client meetings where, like, for some reason the Apple earbuds just don't connect very well. And also, it's just like if you've forgotten to charge them and if they're cut out as well. But I suppose it's the only thing is, if you are doing a video one, are you comfortable if you've got some chunky Dr. Dre Beats ones on? You know,
that's true.
If you're doing audio only, it doesn't matter. If you're doing video ones, then just double check. But if you're doing like the Bluetooth thing, there's more pressure on there if they don't connect properly, or if the, you know, the Bluetooth comes out or the battery runs out. I suppose all these things you want to do is to avoid feeling nervous or another thing to worry about. And if it does happen and you panic and you don't know what to do, then it just creates more anxiety, doesn't it?
Definitely. I mean, I always tell, you know, the people that we do our episodes with to have a pair of headphones or just something there ready, a headset, whatever they've got. Because obviously we don't want to tell people to always go out and buy. I mean, if they're, I know we'll probably go on to talk about this a little bit later, but obviously if they're going to be recording on a regular basis, then yes, I guess having that equipment in place would be beneficial. But if you're doing a one-off, I always say, you know, just join Zencaster on the day. Let's see how you sound without any equipment. Just with what you've got, your laptop, your desktop. Sometimes it's absolutely fine. Sometimes their audio is clear and that's fine. But I always say just have something there ready if you've got some headphones, if you've got a spare set, just in case. And then you've got the two options and you don't have to worry.
Absolutely. And then also what you were talking about earlier of like worrying about doing the mute, unmute, it's another thing to think about if you're already feeling about, oh, I'm thinking about how I come across and everything like that. It's just like, just give yourself the best opportunity to not worry about anything else other than just having that sort of comfortable chat.
Yeah.
Cool. Okay. So shall we talk about equipment? I should have prepped this before, but I'm just Googling what microphone and all the kit I have. So obviously sound is really important.
Yes.
But also if we're thinking you're just being a guest, some people go out and buy a microphone. I know we had one client where they bought a decent microphone and they post it to the next advisor and they use that. What are you finding with kind of audio quality, and what are our guests mostly using when it comes to like microphone and tech?
Yeah, so a lot of the people that we record with on a regular basis, I always recommend obviously the microphone I use only because it works. I've had it for so long. It's reliable and I love it. you know, that's not to say it's going to work for everyone, but to be fair, a lot of our, you know, clients have gone out and bought the one that I'm using, the Blue Yeti X. And I think with this particular microphone, there's not a lot of setting up to do. It's USB, you plug it in. I mean, I do have some software called Logitech that it goes through, but that's because I've also got a wireless mouse, wireless keyboard at the moment, and a few things that go through that program. But you should just be able to plug the Blue Yeti X in and kind of go. You know, there's a dial on it. You can turn your volume up and down. The microphone itself, I mean, I don't want to get too technical. And I know I'm a podcaster and I know a little bit, but I'm not the most technical person. I'll admit that. You know, I've kind of learned as I've gone along with it all, I suppose, as a lot of us have done in podcasting. But yeah, this one is just particularly great because it does a lot of the work for you. You can go a little bit more in depth if you wish, but you know, what are we using today? I'm talking through it now. I've not done a lot with the microphone. I mean, I have gone out and I've kind of bought extra kit. So I've got a pop filter, a boom arm, so that the microphone is on the arm attached to my desk in front of me rather than on the little tripod that I think it comes with. I've had this for so long, I've kind of forgotten how it all kind of arrived.
Yeah, I was thinking the same. That's why I had to look it up. And then with the boom arm's an interesting thing because I used to have the boom arm. It annoys me. I don't know if you've seen Ash Borland. He's always playing with his boom arm. It's brilliant. I wind him up about it. But what it does mean is that, and we used to do lots of live video, and when you tap your table, I'm tapping my table, hopefully it's not making crazy noises. It's like if you've just got the Blue Yeti on your desk and you like hit your table, it picks up that horrible noise, doesn't it? Like it makes a horrible noise. I've got a stand for mine, but I don't know, but I've got it in, I don't know what they call it. But it's it's like in a suspension type thing. So when I knocked my table, it shouldn't have been making crazy noises because it's kind of floating. I should have done my research and looked.
No, so should I. I should know what that's called. They have that. They use that a lot on radio desks as well, I think, don't they? And it's completely slipped my mind as well.
Well, if you keep talking, then I can go in my Amazon.
You can have a little look. You can have a little look. Yeah. I mean, I think with a setup, it's what suits you best, isn't it? I mean, for me, I've progressed as I've gone along, as I've said. You know, I started with the little tripod, then I got the boom arm, attached it to my desk. I mean, it's a simple setup, really. I've just got the Yeti X, my headphones, a boom arm, and a pop filter, which obviously helps your harsh sounds when you're speaking into your microphone. And that works for me. You know, for some people, they might get away with just using the tripod. You know, you've got something different as well. And I know your setup has evolved as well, and you've changed microphones, haven't you? Yeah. And that's absolutely fine. It's just what works best for you. But I think if you're new to this, and if it is, say, your first time recording, you're not going to have all that. And I think you need to get used to hearing your voice as well first before even progressing.
Yeah.
So, yeah.
I think lots to talk about there. I'm going to pick up on this because I know a lot of people hate the sound of their own voice. Whereas I don't want to sound too egotistical, but I like mine, but probably because I've heard it so much.
And you've got a good voice for this.
Wow. You know, people say that. I've not won any awards for it, but... You know,
you might do now.
Face for podcasting, voice for podcasting.
What is it? Face for radio.
Face for radio, isn't it?
Yeah, that's it. Yeah.
We've mentioned, so I used to have the Yeti Blue as well, and it's about sort of 100 quid, isn't it? You can get the Yeti Nano, which is a small one, but that's about 90 quid anyway. So there's not much difference there. I think it is quite a common microphone to get. So it just depends, like, if you're just going to do a one-off, whether you're comfortable spending 100 quid to do that sound, but sometimes some of the other microphones are okay as well. So it's what you feel comfortable investing in and whether you're going to do more of it, I think. And also, I just found out it's a shock mount, the thing that you put on your stand and then the microphone sits in, and it's kind of like in a rubber band. So it's kind of like suspended, if that kind of makes sense. I have got the Rode Procaster microphone, and I'm just seeing how much that is now. Oh, so mine's only 135 quid for the mic itself, but I had to get an amp with it and a cloud lifter as well to make it sound. So I spent about 300 quid or something overall on my setup. I think you've got that plug and play for about 100 quid, but there's also microphones for about sort of 30 quid as well. So I think there's other cheaper options on Amazon as well. So if like 100 quid sounds like, oh, you know, I'm only doing it once or whatever, there's some like, I think there's some, I don't, do we recommend anything at like the sort of 30 quidish mark or anything like that? Or
yeah, there are cheaper alternatives for microphones. I think, you know, in the guidelines that we kind of send out, there's a microphone called the Toner USB, mm-hmm. a microphone on Amazon. And that's under £30. I mean, obviously the prices vary and it depends on yeah. the time, doesn't it? And you've got to check and shop around. But there are definitely lots of alternatives, lots of easy options as well, USB options to just plug into your laptop or desktop. Mm-hmm. So it is a case of just shopping around, really. And again, I suppose it's what works best for you. And I know you don't yeah. always know that until you've bought the item. But if you start off cheap and small and then you enjoy it and you're going to do these episodes often, then go out and purchase, you know, something a little bit more expensive and keep Absolutely. Progressing.
Absolutely. One thing I would say is we use Zencaster where we record. And if you're probably going on someone that's got like a podcast, they're probably using something similar. And I don't think this works on your mobile phone, despite mobile phones having decent microphones on them. So I suppose that's one thing. Don't assume you can use your mobile. But I can't remember if I've recorded with someone that's got a tablet. I don't know if they just rocked up with a tablet. I can't remember.
Yeah, I don't think I've ever had somebody with a tablet, but I'm so glad that you've kind of brought that up, because a lot of people, even though it's still in our guidelines, they do think that there is, you know, that you can record on your phone a little bit like Zoom or Skype. But no, you can't. It's just for laptops, your use on your laptop or desktop, because I suppose it is sort of, it's a professional podcasting yeah. site, isn't it? But whether they'll bring an app out in the future, who knows?
Yeah, I was going to say maybe. I know there are some, there's like Anchor FM where yes. it's more designed for like solo episodes and you can sort of record that on your phone. But I think the reason we use Zencaster is because it records. So Tess and I are in different, you know, we're 30 odd miles away from each other.
Yeah.
That on different devices that it records my audio and Tess's audio separately. So there's two like audio files that you can then stick together. It's easier to edit. Whereas if you're on Zoom, it's one file. And if you had a glitch on your end, it would be harder to edit it out. Whereas Tess was coughing while I'm talking, that's not going to come up on my side. So that's why we use Zencaster. And probably if you're going to be invited on a podcast, it'll probably be something similar to that. But some people use Zoom. We've had to use Zoom if there's problems as well. It's normally like a fail safe.
Yes, backup, definitely.
Everyone can get on Zoom, can't they? And you can record. It's just, I always find the audio quality is never as good as something like Zencaster.
No, there is a muffled sound on Zoom, definitely. I mean, Zencaster's crisp, isn't it? Clear and crisp.
Yeah.
But definitely. Like you say, I think, you know, having the two separate audio kind of waveforms is so great when it comes to editing. I mean, you can't help it, especially if you've got pets as well. And a lot of us yeah. over, you know, the past few years, I know we're recording this in March 2022, but, you know, when I've recorded episodes with clients during the pandemic and they've been at working from home, I've had dogs barking, you know, if the postman's dropped something through the door, there's been hamsters. I had one, somebody that I recorded with, they had a hamster cage in the room next door and they started spinning in their wheel. So we had to stop for a little bit. and they had to go and move this cage. So washing machine's gone off. Many things. So Zencaster's great for that.
Absolutely. On this podcast, we have had people with dogs barking. And I think at one point, I was either editing it myself or just not even editing it, that we just kept it in, just made a laugh of it.
It's but when funny, it, I suppose isn't it?
Yeah, definitely. But I suppose if it's your being invited on to share your expertise, you want to give a good impression. You don't want to be like too formal, and it's not about that. But I suppose it's a bit annoying for the listener if there are stuff going on like
that. Yeah, it depends how vibrant it is, isn't it? So I'll keep certain sounds in, but obviously if it's, I guess, overriding what the person is saying, I will kind of edit it out or we'll get that removed. I've had seagulls in the background if somebody's been away. Low, but seagulls is quite therapeutic, actually. It was. I know they can be noisy, but that wasn't too bad. And I think I remember I kept that in that episode. But
amazing. Yeah. I remember recording when, you know, before you started, and then someone had a home office and there was always birds tweeting in the background. And I always thought, you know, that sounds cool. I was a bit jealous that they had that in the background. But I suppose that comes on to the next thing of like where you're going to record, because I've kind of done it and someone was in a cafe and I was like,
Okay.
I don't think we can do this because I can hear the guy making coffee louder than I can hear you. This is not going to work. So I suppose it's finding somewhere suitable because my particular microphone, you have to get really close to it and it doesn't pick up stuff really in the back. I'm near the washing machine. If that was on, you wouldn't really hear it because of the microphone that I've got. But if you're a guest and you're not investing in that and you are in a noisy atmosphere, it is going to get picked up. So I suppose it's like think about where you're going to record and try and find somewhere as kind of as quiet as possible.
Yeah, no, definitely. Definitely. I mean, if you've got a room, if you're recording from home, definitely finding a quiet spot with your laptop, you know, just sitting there. And if you have got a microphone, you can plug in a USB, like you say, being as close to it as possible. But definitely always find a sheltered spot because, yes, our microphones are noise cancelling. But I think even for us as well, it's just covering all eventualities, isn't it? I sit in my little small home office. It's quite perfect for this, you know, for podcasting. It's all set up for that. But I suppose if you don't do it every day, yeah, if you've got a quiet spot at home or in the office, then definitely. Because I've recorded with people that have been in a busy office and they've even gone into another room, but you can still hear people kind of outside of that room where it's been quite noisy. So if you can find that quiet spot, yeah, that's definitely a bonus when recording.
Definitely. Absolutely. And then maybe ask the host, can you do like a quick little test? You know, because it only takes a minute. Yes. You know, we've got, you know, 10 minutes just to jump on a call the week before, a couple of days before or something, and just check, is this room going to be okay? And again, so you haven't got that anxiety when you're turning up for the first time. Oh, is this, yeah, it's another less thing to worry about, isn't it? That getting that sorted beforehand.
Definitely. And I think as well, just a few tips as well, when you are recording, like we made sure, Alex, all our tabs are closed, you know, shutting down your emails, making sure your phone's on silent, because, you know, we all get a lot of notifications and pings these days that the microphones can pick up or, you know, the recording will pick up. So just making sure everything's turned off and silent, all that you possibly can. I mean, if you have got pets and you can't get away from them, obviously you can't silence them. They're going to bark or meow or whatever, most likely when you're recording. But yeah, just little things like that.
Absolutely. I don't know if anyone heard, but my Skype went off literally a few seconds before you said that. Yeah, Alex and I are really professional. And I was like, oh, I don't think I have been.
But it happens, doesn't it? That's a great, it happens. It happens.
Yeah. Sometimes I get used to it. But it's funny because it was a good job I had because we had a technical issue earlier and you Skyped me to say,
yes.
And then I did get, I should have turned it off then when I realised. But
it's all part of the process, isn't it? It's all part of the fun with recording.
It is. And I think what people love about Advisors Assemble is it's not polished and perfect. We're rough around the edges. So I think people are
quite
used to
that. Who wants polished and perfect though? You know,
exactly.
We're human. As we said, we're only human.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Have we got any other sort of technical advice? Anything that we're sort of missing that could help people? I'm just going through.
I'm just thinking now.
Also trying to think about when I was invited as a podcast guest as well.
I think probably the start is always making sure that you remember the date that you've booked to record, because sometimes it's easy. I mean, I know, you know, we show set up. Everything up in a, yeah, show up. That's the number one tip. Just show up. I think because we use kind of our Google calendars, don't we, Alex, and things like that. And, you know, I've always got mine open, so I know exactly what I'm doing, but not everybody works that way. Mm-hmm. And in my head, I'm thinking everybody can see this, but of course they can't. So I guess, yeah, just making sure that you're fully ready for that day. And you kind of know what you're doing. You've got your notes if you need them. I suppose from a technical point of view, I think you mentioned it, you know, a little bit earlier on. If you need, you can actually join the Zencastr link earlier on. So if we've set a day and a time, don't think that you've just got to join at that day and time, if that makes sense.
Yeah.
You can check the link. You can go in and double check that everything's okay before the day. You won't mess anything up. You can't kind of hurt anything. Which I think is quite a good point, because I think sometimes we say, oh, we've set this day and time, meet us there and then. But actually, you can log on and double check.
Absolutely. I've got a really good tip that I remember is a lot of people log on to Zencastr here and assume that we're recording straight away.
Yes.
And they start chatting. And I, you know, because normally I have a little sort of chat beforehand and, you know, what you're up to. And I think sometimes they assume we're recording. And I get all this amazing stuff and then I don't want to interrupt them. And I was like, oh, we should be recording this. And I was like, oh, you're not recording. So don't assume that the record button, it's recording straight away as soon as you're on there. Normally, I can't think of any platform where they wouldn't actually have to hit record.
No, me neither. It's definitely, you're never recording straight away. You know? I've actually had people ask me that as well. Mm-hmm. But no, definitely. You can have a little chat beforehand. I always say I won't hit record until you're ready, talk you through the process quickly again. Yeah, so don't worry about that.
Excellent. Brilliant. Well, I think we have given people, if you are a podcast guest or been invited to one, then we've pretty much covered all your bases, I think. I think cannot think of anything else. So don't know what else to say.
No, I think we've covered everything. We've covered technology, the process, and hopefully we've put people's minds at ease as well. And it's not daunting. It's just a chat. I mean, listen to us. It's kind of like we're chatting about podcasting and we're podcasting. I'm trying to think.
No structure.
We're just kind of going for it, and that's fine. And it's natural. But yeah, I guess happy podcasting. I hope whoever's listening, this is making you feel like you really want to record now.
Absolutely. Yeah. I have thought of one other thing, and that's probably why in my head I was kind of like, are we done? But we're not. I'm sure there's something else. If you use that recording, like whether it's on your website, whether it's on social, don't just put it out on social at the time. How can you use that on your website? We said earlier at the beginning that we embed these episodes on websites. So if you've been invited on a podcast to talk about interest-only mortgages expiring, and you've done a whole podcast episode with them, then a great place on your website, if you have a page about interest-only mortgages expiring, would be to include, also listen to me talk about it here as well. So whatever you're talking about, have a think about how you can use that afterwards and always be able to use it, rather than just, if you put it out on social, it's gone and forgotten and come out within a day. How can you use this asset? Or is it something that if you've maybe been on local BBC radio that you can put as featured on BBC or something like that? What can you do with this asset that you've got than just, check me out on this podcast? Think about your website, think about everything else where people will be aware of you. In your email footer, was it a big one? If it was, someone on Sky News or like I say, like the BBC, or even if it's local, Peterborough FM or whatever, is it something that could go in your email signature or something? So just have a little think about how you can use it as well,
That's a good point. I guess podcasting, in a way, like the episode, it's kind of like an add-on, isn't it? You can share it anywhere. You can use it.
Yeah.
Make it big. Make it stand out. Use the recordings to your potential.
Yeah. Absolutely. And a good point as well is if you want to go back onto that podcast as well, put some real effort into promoting that, because the podcaster, if it's something that they want to get, if they see, I had Joe Bloggs on, wow, we got more likes, we got more shares, we got more listeners, how can I get Joe Bloggs back on again? And then that's another, more exposure for you as well. So really do try and maximize that as much as possible, because people do look at their stats and you get episode stats of which one's more popular than others, and they'll want to get people back that are raised the profile of their podcast. So do that indeed. Tessa, we're going to have you back on.
I feel like we could talk podcasting all day. There's just so much to talk about.
Well, I was tempted to do if you are launching your own podcast series. Okay. It feels like that is a series because there's lots more to consider. But absolutely, we need to get our podcaster on to talk about podcasting when they come up. But I thought for us to do a really good first one, I don't think many people talk about being a guest. That was a great place to start. So we definitely get you back on. You'll hear more from Tessa. Join.
That's where they shut off.
Yeah. Oh, no, I'm never going to listen to it ever again. So if you have any questions about podcasting, you can ask them in the Facebook group. So join the Advisors Assemble Facebook group, or ask me on Twitter, or tag me into something or whatever. We've also got an anonymous link that you can use if you don't want to share your name, and you can ask a question about the podcast as well. Just ask us about that, or you'll see it in the Facebook group as well. Thanks for listening. If you are being a guest, good luck. Exciting. It won't be as terrifying as you imagine, I'm sure. And you'll be fine. And you'll be, can I guarantee?
I presume. You can definitely guarantee. You'll get the audio bug.
Yeah, you'll get the, okay, we've got, Tessa's going to guarantee. So if you don't, speak to her, not me. But we're pretty sure you will. I don't think anyone's hated it after. Some of them hate listening back,
because they, like we said earlier, don't like the sound of my voice. But I remember getting a lot of feedback saying, oh, actually, doesn't sound as bad as I thought.
Yeah, I think when you just take a step back and you've recorded, then you listen to it a few days down the line when it's been edited, and then it's okay.
Yeah.
It's not as bad as you thought.
We didn't talk about ums and ahs.
We've got fillers. I touched on it slightly, but we didn't, did we?
Don't worry about your ums and ahs. And don't worry about messing. We sort of said don't worry about messing up, but if it's not recorded live, we can cut them out, ums and ahs and things like that.
Oh, yes.
I um and ah a lot, and I don't think we often on this podcast, I don't think our editor cuts them out that much. But if I'm doing a little video myself, I will often cut them out. Because do you know what? I actually did some research on how to stop umming and ahring, and someone just said all it is, you just got to close your mouth, because all you're doing is thinking with your mouth open.
Yeah, you've got to pause and stop. So I actually, from my background in radio and journalism, we were taught this as well. And I um and arm all the time as well. I can't help it. We all do it. And yeah, I was just told you've just got to try and think and don't, if you're going to pause, don't say anything at all. But that's really difficult, isn't it? It's an art.
It is. So, and now I'm really trying not to go,
It's difficult when you start thinking about it, isn't it?
Yeah, I've seen some speakers. I just did it then. I've seen some speakers on stage, and there's some really eloquent wordsmiths. Yes. But I think it's because when they're speaking on stage, it's almost like a script. They're repeating the same thing. But I think when you're being a guest and it's maybe for the first time and you're talking about a subject, you will naturally think about the answer. Don't worry about it, because it will just get edited out, or you can ask for it to be edited out as well. It will feel better when you listen to it back when it's got the edit on there. So yeah. Definitely. Cool. Well, this is the third ending. Now we've realised we're definitely done.
You'll never have me back on again.
That's right. I think it's my poor little brain that we're all good. We're all good. So thank you for listening. Join the Facebook group if you haven't already. And then do look out for our future podcast-related episodes. And we will see you next time. Thank you very much. Thanks, Tessa. Really appreciate it. It's been really good fun.
Thank you. Yeah, I've really enjoyed it. It's really good.
Good. Well, you're probably the only guest that doesn't have a choice whether to come back or not. You sort of have to. It is your job.
It is my job. It is.
Good. Right. See you later.
Thank you.
Bye. 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 Bye.